Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in, wa man sanna sunnatahu wa ahtada bihadihi ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. My dear and respected brothers and sisters in Islam, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, there is one very, very important word in Quran and Hadith that had come very often. In fact, this word has been repeated, I do not know how many times, but multiple times in Quran. And hundreds of times this word has been repeated in ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this word is very familiar with you and me, and that the word is barakah. Barakah, and the jama or the plural for barakah is barakat, which in English we translate as blessings of Allah, blessings of God, which is very close to the right translation, I would say. But blessings, if it means that the tranquility, the peace and all that, then you know this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means in barakat. Baraka also, brothers, means that irrespective of the limitation of your resources, you still led a complete life. Meaning your resources, whether it's your job or business, was very limited. Let's say your salary is very limited, as compared to your friend or brother's salary, that his salary is 4 or 5 times more than your salary. But in spite of this small or meager salary of yours, all of your expenses are being met. From your house rent, to the education of your children, to paying their bills, to eating food, and all the other necessity things are being met. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the barakah that I put in the earning and in the money of some people. But this barakah of Allah is done with to few people only. It is not with everybody. For the rest of the people, they have lots of resources. You know, their salary is big. Their business is flourishing. So they have the means. Their houses could be big. Their children could be going to really nice public schools, private schools, expensive ones. Everything is there. But the outcome is completely different. Neither is there peace in that family, nor is there deen in the family. Nor are the children on the right path. Nor does the children love the parents, nor do the parents really take care of their children. So this means that the resources are there, which are, the word for resources in Quran is asbab. And Allah said, asbab as-samawati wal-ard. Asbab are there, means are in abundance. But the desired result is not there. So this ayah which I read to you in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ. Try to understand this, brother. May Allah protect you and me. But this ayah is a very, very important ayah of Quran for all of us. As I have mentioned to you earlier, that right now, brothers, the ummah, meaning Muslims, are completely detached from Quran. Completely detached from Quran. You don't have time for Quran, to be honest. So right now, the connection between the ummah and the Quran is completely cut off. So when I say that this ayah is very important, you must be thinking, what important? I do not know what you talk about. I never heard about this ayah, or I never thought about the meaning of this ayah. But this is true with not only you, but the majority of the ummah is completely detached from Quran. Quran is being taken as a book of tilawat only, and that also on some occasions. Otherwise, Quran is there to be read and understood and then implemented. So when I say that this ayah is very important, that brother, I'm saying this with full responsibility, that this ayah is very important for our life. So Allah is saying, وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَةٍ, those people who are denying me. And here denial doesn't mean that they became kafir. Denial means that they are not following on the commandments of Allah. So you could be a Muslim, but still, al-a'yadu billah, you could be denying. Denying means you are not following the commandments of Allah. So Allah is saying, if you are a Muslim and then you are denying following the commandments of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Allah says, sanastadrijuhum. So when you are committing sins, Allah is saying, I am not going to grab you right away, but I am going to do things which are completely contrary to your belief. You are thinking that you know, if Allah is there, then why is He not grabbing me? I'm breaking the laws of Allah. I'm committing sins after sins. So if there is Allah, then why is He not grabbing me? Why is He not punishing me? I have been committing the same sins over and over and over again. And I have been doing this for years. But where is the punishment of God? Why God is not punishing me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this person is not understanding my sunnah. Sunnah means laws. And that is that when a believer deliberately, knowingly breaks the laws of Allah, Allah is saying, most of the time I do not grab that person right away. But sanastadrijuhum, I give him rope. You know, give him rope. You know, brother, have you ever, do you fly kites? Kankawwe badi? Patang badi? After Lahore say, bhai. So, you know, when you are doing patangbazi, so what you do is that if you want to cut the other person's patang, so what do? Aap dheel dete na? You give more rope. And then what you do is that then you start pulling it really hard. And then you can cut the other person's patang or kite. This is an example for you to understand sanastadrijuhum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you more rope. Since Allah is giving you more rope, so you are thinking that, you know, let me do it more. More sins. That in Quran is called istidraj. So Allah is saying, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ, I'm giving them more time so that they can accumulate their sins. Then Allah said, Inna kaidi mateen. My planning is very strong. Okay? So this ayah is telling us, my dear brother and sister, that when you are committing sins, do not expect the punishment of Allah to come to you right away. Allah is giving you rope. Okay. Second thing about this ayah, brother, is what I told you in the beginning, that the law of Quran is that one ayah of Quran is explained by another ayah. So let's take this ayah and then look into Quran, that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining this ayah. So you turn to 9th juz and you will find that Allah is explaining this ayah. In 9th juz, Allah is saying, falamma nasu ma dhukkiru, I'm sorry, this is in the 8th juz. Falamma nasu ma dhukkiru bihi, when people forgot about me, not remember, they forgot about me. You know, no zikr of Allah, no ibadah, people completely forgot about Allah. So brothers, if people forget about Allah, then the punishment of Allah should come right away. That's what we think. No, Allah said no. Falamma nasu, when people forget about me, fatahna alayhim abwaba kulli shay. What I do is that I open the doors of everything for them. Fatahna alayhim abwaba, abwaba means door, kulla shay. Kulla shay means every materialistic thing that you want, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you in abundance. Why? Because you forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers, try to understand. You forgot about Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving materialistic things in abundance. So this person is thinking that, well, I'm transgressing against Allah. I'm hearing the ahkamat of Allah and deliberately I'm going against it. And in return, I'm getting more money, I'm getting more materialistic thing as compared to last year. I'm a richer man this year. Although this past 1 year I have not been going to the masjid, I'm not praying salah, I'm not a good Muslim, but I'm getting more and more and more and more materialistic thing. Allah is saying, this is what I do to people who deliberately transgress against me. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hatta idha farihu bima utu. Then when people start really feeling really happy for their sins, now you have no feeling of guilt, because you are committing sins and you are thinking, I'm getting so much from God. So now that feeling of guilt is gone. And that feeling of guilt is replaced by farihu. Farihu means happiness. You are committing a sin and you are feeling happy over it. So hatta idha farihu ma akhadna alayhim baghta. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that then my punishment comes upon them all of a sudden. Now that punishment might come in the form of a sudden death. That is a punishment. That you did not get time to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would inflict different kind of calamities of that upon that person or that family. But the point to note, brother, is that you and I have to understand the sunnah of Allah, the law of Allah. That by committing sins, right, we should not expect that we are going to face the punishment in this world. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The punishment of your sins are going to be done to you after death. Because this world, brother, is not a place of jaza. This is the place of amal. You know, you are not going to be rewarded or punished in this world. That is the life hereafter. In this world, you know, you have to do amal. So like one sahabi used to say, al-yawm al-amal, wal-ghad al-jaza. One sahabi used to say, today you do your deeds. Tomorrow, meaning life, in the life after death, is jaza. So I would like to repeat this ayah again to you. وَالَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, people who forget about Allah, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ, I'm going to give them more. So you forget about Allah and Allah will give you more. You know. But this is called istidraj. Istidraj means giving you rope. And then Allah, when He would wish, He is going to pull that rope. And when Allah would pull the rope, Allah will do so very severely, very severely. So brothers and sisters, do not look at what you are getting. Look at your a'mal. Are your a'mal according to the sunnah, according to the ahkamat of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or not? You know. And then moving on, I wanted to talk to you about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's story, but I have only 15 minutes left, and maybe tomorrow we'll talk about just Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, because yesterday the young Huffaz read in Salat Taraweeh, the beautiful story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So I was planning to talk about Nuh alayhi salam tonight, but inshallah we'll do it tomorrow. In the remaining 15 minutes, there are two, three quick, small ayah that I would like to draw your attention to. But the first and the foremost thing in Islam, brother, is before Salah, is your intention. You know, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Your amal, right? No matter whatever you have done, your amal is going to be judged by your intention. In fact, brothers, in one hadith, Rasulullah said, "Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali." This is a very high level thing that Rasulullah said. Rasulullah said that the niyya and intention of a mu'min, niyya or intention of a mu'min, is better than his amal. Because, brother, intention is made in the heart. Amal is done by our outward appearance. You are praying salah, this is an amal, people can see. So there is a possibility of riya and show off in that. But niyya is done in the heart. Nobody can see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 11th juz of Quran have told us how important niyya is. And the story is long, but I will summarize it in few minutes. And that is that in Madina Munawwara, when Rasulullah went from Makkah to Madina Munawwara, Arshad bhai, yeah, where did Rasulullah stop before Madina? Where did Rasulullah stop before Madina? Quba. A small village called Quba. Well, there were various reasons why Rasulullah stopped there. One of the reasons was that Rasulullah relatives from his mom's side lived in Quba. So Rasulullah stopped there before he went to Madina Munawwara. Now at that time, there was a distance of nearly 6 miles between Quba and Madina. Now Quba is a part of Madina. And there's this Masjid Quba. So when Rasulullah went to Quba, Rasulullah stayed there for a couple of days. And when Rasulullah was leaving for Madina, so the people of Quba came and they requested, they said, "O Prophet of Allah, you are leaving to Madina, but how are we going to pray Salah?" So they said that we had made intention of building a masjid. So we'll build the masjid, but since you are leaving today, can you put the foundation stone? And then we'll build the masjid over it. It was Jummah, the day of Friday. So Rasulullah put the brick in the foundation of Quba. It was Jummah. Rasulullah said, "Well, today is Jummah as well. So let's pray Salah together." Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah made Jummah mandatory upon this Ummah. The first Jummah that Rasulullah led was in Masjid Quba. Now, masjid was not built. Rasulullah just put the foundation stone. So Rasulullah gave khutbah and then he led Salah. So that was the first khutbah of Jummah that Rasulullah did. First Jummah Salah that Rasulullah led. And then the first masjid that was built in Islam was not Masjid Nabawi, but it was Masjid Quba. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised those people who founded that masjid. Allah said, "Afaman assasa bunyanahu ala taqwa min Allahi wa ridwan." That this masjid, Masjid Quba, was founded on taqwa. So the Ahlul Quba were praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they founded this masjid only on taqwa. They had no intention but to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here this ayah is telling us the importance of niyyah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the sky revealed this ayah in praise of Ahlul Quba. Now on the other hand, near Quba, there were some munafiqeen living. A completely different set of people. After some years, when they saw that the best place to go and plan against Muslims is a masjid. Build a masjid and sit there and plan against Islam. They came to Rasulullah and they said, "O Prophet of Allah, we intend..." Now this is the munafiqeen, hypocrite. They said, "O Prophet of Allah, we have made an intention of building a masjid." Now Rasulullah was going somewhere for a few days. Rasulullah was in a rush. So Rasulullah said, "What do you want me to do then? Can you put the foundation stone and then you can leave and we'll build on it?" So Rasulullah said, "Fine." Rasulullah went there, just like he did in Quba. Rasulullah put the foundation stone. Now Rasulullah did not knew the intention of these people. Allah knew. When Rasulullah left, Rasulullah was thinking that now they will build on it, so another masjid will come up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to Rasulullah wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasulullah wasalam about the reality of these people, that these are munafiqeen and hypocrites. They do not intend to make a masjid. They just want to build a masjid-like structure, and they are going to call that masjid, but they want to use that masjid, that place, to plan against you and Muslim and Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Rasulullah that when you go back, if you see some walls coming up, you know these people are in the process of building walls and put a roof, order your sahaba to demolish it. So when Rasulullah went back, Rasulullah saw that, well, the munafiqeen are busy building walls and then lit on roof. Rasulullah said that, "No, go and demolish it." And then they said, "O Prophet of Allah, why did you demolish? This was the masjid, a good act that we were doing. You demolished the masjid?" Rasulullah read these ayahs that were revealed to Rasulullah. "أَفَمَنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَىٰ تَقْوَىٰ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِ خَيْرٌ أَمَّنْ أَسَّسَ بُنْيَانَهُ عَلَىٰ شَفَىٰ جُرُفٍ حَارٍ فَنْهَارَ بِهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمُ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah that if you want to pray at some other place beside Masjid Nabawi, you go to Quba and pray there. Do not go to this place, because this place that munafiqeen want to call as masjid was not based on taqwa, but was based on some other intentions. Allah said, "Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-zalimin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide those people who deliberately are trying to hurt Islam and Muslim. So this was, my dear brothers and sisters, the story of masjid. Now that masjid is called Masjid Dirar. Masjid Quba is called Masjid Quba, but this masjid is called Masjid Dirar. Dirar means that this masjid was founded on hurting Muslims and Islam. On the other hand, Masjid Quba was founded on taqwa. So Rasulullah said in a famous hadith sharif that man tatahara fi bayti thumma ata masjid Quba fasalla fihi rak'atayn falahu ka ajri umrah aw kama qala al-islam. This is the fazilat and the virtue of Masjid Quba. Rasulullah said that a person who will make wudu in his home, now in a home, I mean, brother, when you go from Orlando, inshallah, to Madina Munawara next time, so if you make wudu at your hotel room, that's your home there. So Rasulullah said that if you make wudu at your home, then you come to Masjid Quba, and there you pray two rak'ahs of salah. Just two rak'ahs of salah in Masjid Quba. So Rasulullah said that you will get the reward of Umrah. Falahu ka ajri Umrah. You see? So this is the significance of Masjid Quba. Why? Because it was based on taqwa. So my dear brothers, everything goes back to your intention. With what intention you are doing good deeds. So innamal a'malu bin niyyat, that all the a'mal are based on your intention. So this is in the 11th juz. And then one last ayah, brothers and sisters. Um, Again, brother, the same issue comes back. That the ummah is so much detached with Quran that if I say to you that this ayah is also very important, you'll say, Hafiz Sahib, I never heard about it. But believe me, brothers, this ayah is a very strong ayah. Very strong ayah. I'll just translate it to you and then you decide how important it is. I'll just translate it to you. Let me not do the tafsir of it. You decide whether it is important or not. Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, all those people who believe, ati'u Allah wa rasulah, obey Allah and His Rasul, wa la tawallaw anhu wa antum tasma'un, and do not show your back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while you are listening to him. And then I said, wa la takunu kalladheena qalu sami'na wa hum la yasma'un. Do not be like those people who say that yes, I'm listening, but they have not listened. Inna sharrat dawab, the worst animals. Inna sharrat dawab, in the Allah is summul bukmul ladina la yaqilun. The worst animals in the eyes of Allah are those who are deaf and dumb. Summul alladhi la yaqilun. They do not understand anything. وَلَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لَأَسْمَعَهُمْ. If I would have seen anything good in you, I would have made you listen to it. But وَلَوْ أَسْمَعَهُمْ لَتَوَلَّ وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Had I made them listen, they still would have shown their back. Now what is Allah saying in these four ayahs, brother? I just translated it to you. Brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that when you hear the talk of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking place anywhere, brothers, anywhere. Let's say you came to the masjid and you hear that the talk of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to take place in the masjid. If you have a genuine excuse to go, you have a job, you have something important, of course, you will be exempt. But you are going to go home and do nothing important, maybe just watch television, or you have a, you know, whatever, you have nothing that important. And the announcement is made that this scholar is here, this talk is going to be made, please sit down. And you say, who cares, you know, let me go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this attitude towards the talk of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not right. Is not right. When the talk upon Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being made, you should take an extra effort to come and join and listen. You see, why is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the next ayah that Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O those people who believe, istajibu lillahi walir rasul. Who do that? Go ahead, listen. Istajibu, respond to the call of Allah and Rasul. You know, respond to the call of Allah and Rasul. Lima yuhyikum. Underline this, brothers. Allah is saying because the life of your heart, the life of your heart lies only in listening to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning if you listen to other things, your heart will be dead. But when you listen to the talk of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, there is life of your heart in that. Meaning the more you listen to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more your heart will find peace. And remember that famous ayah, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That verily in the zikr of Allah, your hearts are going to find peace. So the talk of Allah is taking place. The talk about Rasulullah sallallahu is taking place. But you do not have time to come. A good example, brother, of that is that, you know, when we send emails to the community, that this scholar is coming, this Islamic activity is going to take place, this class on Hadith or Quran is going to take place. We have nearly 1600 email list in our server. So we sent 1600 emails. If there is no food, then handful of people come. If there is food, then the attendance is a little bit better. But what are these people doing by not coming? Sorry for this example, but if I will say that a film star is coming to pray 2 rakat of salah in the masjid, if you want to meet him, come here. If I send this email, any Bollywood or Hollywood actor is coming, and he is just stopping by and he will pray Salatul Zuhar at Jama Masjid. If you want his autograph, if you want to meet him, have a photograph with him, please come to Jama Masjid. 1:45 Salatul Zuhar. Brothers, we have to call cops to control the crowd. Although he is calling people towards Jahannam. What is he calling people? Dance and music and all kind of evil. But we respond. We say, Labbaik, I'm coming. Hafiz Sahab, you can count on me. I'll be there at 1 o'clock in the first saf. I want to shake hand with him. Take a photograph. If I say, well, this big sheikh is coming, you know, come and listen to him. Now he is calling people towards Jannah and the a'mal of Jannah. You say, Hafiz Sahab, I'm very sleepy. I wish I could come, but I'm, you know, all kind of excuses. Although in this ayah Allah is saying, Lima yuhyikum. The life of your heart depends upon listening to the talk of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know, our priorities have changed. So this is why, brothers, our hearts do not respond to the name of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as they should have responded. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you and me understand it, brother. If you are interested, that tomorrow inshallah 9:30 inshallah I'll talk about the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam for half an hour. If you are interested, you can come. And then day after tomorrow inshallah we'll start Surah Yusuf again, inshallah, because Surah Yusuf is full of ma'izah and nasiha and lessons. So we'll do it day after tomorrow. But tomorrow, inshallah, 9:30, we'll do Surah Nuh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you and me understand this. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah.